Blexit, short for Black Exit. It's a campaign that urges African Americans to break away from the political party to, as he says, find freedom over tyranny. West's items launched at the Turning Point USA's Young Black Leadership Summit in Washington over the weekend.
This for you guys. Congratulations.
That's first-year Major League Baseball manager Alex Cora after his Boston Red Sox become the 2018 World Series champions, defeating the L.A. Dodgers 5-1 last night in Game 5. The Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts, spoke about his team.
I can't say enough about our ball club. The fight, our guys stuck together, stayed the course, and believed in one another, and put ourselves in a chance to win a championship.
This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Many Republicans are defending themselves against those who are blaming them for a recent spate of violent attacks in America. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
House Speaker Paul Ryan tells CBS's Face the Nation that Republicans must share the blame for America's divisions.
As conservatives, we always thought this was sort of a left-wing Linsky thing. Unfortunately, the right practices identity politics now as well. Identity politics, which is now being practiced on both sides of the aisle, is unfortunately working, and I think we, as leaders, we got to figure out how do we make inclusive aspirational politics strategically valuable again.
News host Megyn Kelly expected to be released from her contract at NBC soon. An NBC spokesperson saying in a statement over the weekend that, quote, Megyn Kelly today is not returning, going on to say that starting on Monday morning, the 9 a.m. hour was going to be hosted by other Today co-anchors. Just 1 year into her three-year contract with the Comcast-owned NBC, Kelly shocked viewers with an on-air defense of blackface Halloween costumes.
You get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Back when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
It's expected NBC will be letting Kelly go, but they have to figure out under what terms she'll be released. A source close to Kelly tells Vanity Fair that she wants to go back to Fox News, where she was an anchor for 13 years. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
I seen your picture.
Hello, everybody. Chef Bill's Table here at WHCRDB, coming to you on Mondays and then thereafter in our files, if you like, in the archives. We have a small technical difficulty today. Somebody's trying to say goodbye. I think it's a program trying to close out. I apologize for the inconvenience. We'll try to ignore it. So, this week, what are we doing? Oh, I know last week we talked about some nice surf and turf. I'm playing around with the lobsters again this week. Got some nice 1 1/4-pound lobsters. When lobsters, they seem expensive, but you can really do a lot with them. You can stretch them out a little bit. We made a stuffed lobster. We used a 1 1/4-pound lobster, and you could put almost any seafood in there. I wanted to make them easy to eat, obviously, so without having to crack the claws and everything. I did, I par cooked them. I steamed them for a little bit less time than called for. A 1 1/4-pound lobster would probably be about 12 minutes. Normally, I did it for 10. The reason being is you need to cook the lobster claws and legs to get the meat out. It's hard to do when it's raw. The tail is different. Tail splits. The meat will come out easily. But I wanted to leave the tail meat a little bit undercooked so when I finished it in the oven, it wouldn't be too cooked. So after steaming them, chilling them down, and of course, crack the claws. Leave them. You could leave them whole if you want. I kind of cut them up. I mixed them with the crab stuffing. I used basically, you could take your favorite crab cake mix and blend it in with the lobster. And even a little bit of the juice, keep it very, very moist and put it back in the body cavity. When you split the lobsters, of course, you take out the brains and some of the junk there. Don't take all the liquid out there. You want some of that flavor in there. The oven to bake them, you need a good hot oven, 450 degrees, 425, 450, depending on your oven. But with the stuffing in there, now it's easy to eat. The tail meat, of course, you can pick right out with a fork. And you've got the lobster meat and crab meat, and this could have been shrimp, it could have been scallops. Crab meat's very easy. It's sweet. It's readily available. You don't have to worry about cooking it. It's already cooked. And it doesn't have to be the big lumps. You could use something like back fin or a regular lump. You don't need the jumbo pieces in there, making kind of a stuffing. Another option would be, I know we've done this on cooking outside, is to just put the claw and knuckle and the meat back in the cavity and then heat them up over a grill, or you can broil them just for a couple of minutes just to warm them up. Easy to eat lobster, no tools required. If you want to serve a half lobster, and that's the other thing. You know, if you're paying, let's say you're paying $12 or $15 for a lobster, but you can serve a half lobster with the stuffing in it, and it's a very nice meal. And in the summertime, we'll do a chilled half lobster on a with a cob sale. Works very well. But lobsters, when you see them, you know, on special, grab them because they seem expensive, but you can do a lot with them. And, of course, with the some of the shells, another thing we do, of course, is make some broth. But the best technique I found is to take some of the shells and kind of butter poach them. So you're going to have butter and a little bit of water. And it creates kind of an emulsion. When you have that 50-50 ratio of fat and liquid, I mean, butter, after all, is an emulsion. There's about 20% liquid in that butter fat. So you get that ratio to about 50-50, and it'll stay emulsified. It soaks up the flavor from these shells, and you don't have to make a big pot of broth. You just have this lobster butter that you can then use for finishing a pasta, or even if you wanted to put a little bit of that on the lobster when you're baking it, just reinforcing that flavor. You don't need the vegetables and all that. You just get that flavor out of the shells. If you're not going to use it right away, then you can simply freeze it. It'll keep chilled for a little while, but we've frozen it before. Best way to do that is seal it up well so it doesn't get freezer burnt. A little plastic tub would work, or in a freezer bag if you decided to make the little logs there and then cut off slices. Anytime you do a compound butter, it's a good idea. So lobster, another way to stretch lobster, of course, and we do it at the restaurant, is deep frying. And you're thinking, oh boy, you know, you're taking lobster and deep frying it. And actually, one of the best accompaniments to that is, believe it or not, some butter with a squeeze of lemon in it. Dipping fried food in butter seems decadent. Well, it is. And why not? Why not gild the lily? We'll take the lobster tails, and I would recommend buying the Maine lobster or Canadian American lobster, cold water, good cold water tails. And again, one tail per person. You could get one, you know, we use a 5 to 6 ounce. You could probably use a 4 ounce. And what we do is we split the tail from the top after they're defrosted. And we pull the meat out of the shell. We like to leave the little tail fins attached. Kind of makes, because you're going to be breading this thing and frying it. Or you could use fish and chip batter, tempura batter. Gives you kind of a handle to hang on to. Plus, you know, it looks nice. The presentation is there.
trial.
So with the meat, lobster meat, after you got out of the shell and you've broken or cut away the majority of the shell, leaving the tail fins, you flip the lobster tail over so the red side is up. And the red side, this is where shrimp and lobsters will curl up when they're cooked. And what we'd like to do is somehow prevent that from happening. So we take the knife and just score that length of the tail just to cut that that red underneath. It'll kind of fan the tail out, almost butterfly it a little bit. You don't have to cut too deeply. You could do it with shrimp also, get a nice butterfly shrimp that way. And then it won't curl up, so you get a nice, better presentation, and you don't have to worry about, you know, if it curls, it doesn't fry evenly. Again, standard breading procedure, our flour, and egg wash, and panko crumbs. And into the fryer he goes, and quick meal. You could pan fry them if you decided to do lobster tails that way. I've done them francais before in the egg batter. Saute them in some good oil or clarified butter, just like you would flounder or chicken or anything else. And you can make a nice quick dish that way. Shrimp, if I was using large shrimp, I would do the same thing. Peel the shrimp, turn them over, and on the underside where that darker, it's almost, it's not really like a skin, it's just a muscle that tightens up. And you sever that, again, the length of the shrimp, butterfly it that way, and then, or you could do crossways, you could cut it crossways, and you end up with kind of like a, you could have like a shrimp drumstick if you want. But either of those two ways will work for frying. Just remember, lobster, again, seems expensive, but you can stretch it out in a pasta, a risotto. The main lobster meat or Canadian lobster meat, very good. If you buy a whole lobster, just like getting a whole chicken, you don't waste anything. Use the shells to make a broth or a butter, and you get plenty of meat out of there. Deep frying reminds me of this week's quest. Still the quest for fried chicken sandwich now. Always like a good fried chicken, you know, skin on, skin off, bone in, boneless. But it seems that the fried chicken sandwich is really taken off. It's, I mean, there's whole restaurants just based around a fried chicken sandwich. Of course, you know, the Chick-fil-A comes to mind as the major player, but I'm talking about independents, small regional groups are starting up, or even what we call a restaurant group. An owner has maybe two or three locations, but the fried chicken and the different styles, I guess on the West Coast, it's more like a Japanese style, probably the influence is there. But you have the Alabama hot chicken, you have all kinds of things on it. So still, we did one at the restaurant for a while at Jake's. We did called it a Red Devil. And we did a special coating for it. It worked okay, but I wasn't really thrilled with it. We're going to explore maybe what your likes or preferences would be for a fried chicken sandwich. You can go light meat or dark meat, and many other things you can do, the condiments, the sauces. But we'll talk about procedures this week. Of course, we've been running with chicken schnitzel, which is a thin cutlet, just like a pork or veal cutlet for Oktoberfest, and it's been doing very well as far as people liking it. People come in, you know, a couple of times a week and have it, and we do a little lemon caper sauce, a little bit of salad, and some German fried potatoes, but just gives us this thought that maybe, you know, fried chicken, besides the usual bucket of takeout or whatever you might do, or finishing in the oven, maybe there's a quicker way. And it seems the sandwich, a lot of people are enjoying, whether for breakfast, dinner, or lunch. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and talk about that fried chicken sandwich. Chef Phil's Table.
I spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is etched upon my mind.
After all the things we've done and seen, you find... Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Trial.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
There. Hopefully we can work our way past it, right? I don't know what's going on, but we'll ignore it, right? So fried chicken, chicken schnitzel. Just looking into the different, well, first of all, you decide, of course, it's going to be a sandwich. Do I want light meat or dark meat? A chicken breast is fairly often used, although some of the better ones I think are made with the boneless, skinless chicken thigh. Now, there's a little more work to prepping these, but they do have more flavor. Some people are like, yeah, I don't like the dark meat. Well, it really just got a little more fat in it. There is a little trimming to do. Very, very economical piece of chicken to buy, though. It's not often that you get something, in my estimation, better flavor, and it costs you less money. The boneless thigh, it takes a little longer to cook, probably. But it really, the white meat, cooking it properly right away, it should stay nice and tender and moist, when you're coating something, you're actually kind of steaming it inside of a crust, even though you're frying it.
Trial.
What happens is, of course, oil and water don't mix, so that with that crust there protecting it, you want that water to stay in there. Now, one of the things that will happen if you're deep frying almost anything and it floats to the surface, of course, it's done. Or you hear that sizzling. That means water's coming out of it. So you don't want to get too much beyond that point. Otherwise, you could have food that's dried out. Most foods, they will not float right away. Oysters take so little time. They'll float right away. You just want to, you know, brown them. Oysters only take about 30 seconds to cook properly anyway. But chicken, what I found with the dark meat, it does take a little bit longer. Now, the good thing about that is the longer time spent frying, the crisper the crust is going to be. And as far as tenderness, what we like to do now with a chicken breast, of course, we still would like to use our meat mallet and pound them out a little bit. Even though they're tender, you want even thickness. And, of course, a chicken breast, naturally, you'll see is a thick at one end and cuts down to a little point at the other. Oftentimes, we'll work with the knife and do what we call a butterfly, where we cut almost through the chicken or anything for that, you know, pork chop, anything like that, parallel to your work table, almost all the way through and open it up, just like opening up a book. You get better surface, more surface area. It's all thin. You don't have to use the mallet so much. The thighs, boneless, skinless, there might be a little fat clinging to them. You want to take off anything that's if there's a big chunk of fat, but the rest of it will kind of melt away. But the thigh is kind of an uneven-shaped piece also. So a little bit of work with the meat mallet will help that out. If you use the bumpy edge of it, of course, you'll break a little bit of the fiber. It'll even tenderize it more. And then we have this flat piece of chicken, whether dark or light. Now, the next step, which a lot of people do, is either marinate the chicken or brine it. By brining, we mean putting it in a salt solution. And what that does is puts some moisture into the chicken. You'll see that with corned beef, with hams, cured products like that that are in a salt brine. Even some poultry products, they're brined. They'll say 7% water, 15% solution retained. And what this is through osmosis, if the solution has a lot of salt in it, of course, initially when you brine, it draws moisture out of the product. And then it reverses because the goal is in nature is everything kind of seeks its own level. So you're going to have that some of the moisture carried back into the chicken or whatever you're brining. But you have to give it enough time to do it. You can't just put it in there for half an hour. Take it out after that. It's probably going to be actually tough. The salt will have drawn the moisture out. You need to give it time. So if you're doing it for that purpose, to keep it nice and juicy. Of course, when you're cooking it, you do have a little bit of water loss, but by putting more water in there, kind of, you know, increases the volume of the product, and some of that water is retained. Now, of course, because there's salt, you have to watch your seasoning. You don't want to oversalt. Some brines, you know, have some sugar also if you're curing, especially making a ham, pork loin, anything like that, you might have some sugar in there also. Corned beef, you have a lot of spices. But the chicken, sometimes just a salt sugar solution or just salt would do if you're looking to brine it for plumpness and tenderness. Now, you can also do it with buttermilk, seems to be the common one. And buttermilk, of course, has no fat in it. Even though it's thickened up, it's a cultured product. But what happens there is the acids in there kind of tenderize the chicken even more. So then you're thinking, well, what do I need to, you know, tenderize chicken? But you will get actually, you know, flavor, and it has a tenderizing effect. And when if you flavor the buttermilk with your hot sauce or whatever seasonings, of course, they're going to at least be on the surface of the chicken, if not well into the chicken if you leave it overnight. We used to do a chicken tikka,
trial.
Marinated in yogurt, same idea. Yogurt seasonings marinated overnight, and it puts flavor into the chicken. Plus, you know, again, some plumpness and a little bit of tang in there from buttermilk.
Trial.
Advantage of doing buttermilk is when you go to coat the chicken, there's already a protein that you need or a liquid on the surface of the chicken that the flour or breading can adhere to.
Trial.
You need the protein to do that. Which brings us to our next step. So we've either using light or dark, and we're either brining or soaking in buttermilk, or if you want another flavor, marinade. You could do a vinaigrette. You could do a soy-based one. Take it that way, a little ginger and soy, a little sweet wine, mirin, or sake. If you don't want it sweet, sherry. We do that with meat. We use orange juice and soy sauce. The orange juice is a little bit less acidic, so it doesn't break down in color the meat that much. We do another one with chicken. We actually put some tequila and raspberry vinegar in there, and that and some cilantro, some shallots. That flavor, man, that really does tenderize that with the strong acid and the tequila alcohol. It'll almost cook the chicken if you leave it too long in that marinade, you know, more than a couple of days. You'll see the proteins turn white, almost like a ceviche, but very tender and tasty chicken. So you're either brining, either buttermilk, or you're doing a marinade. Now we come to the coatings. What are we going to coat the chicken with? And here's where to get the crispness. Now, when you're doing a standard breading procedure, which means a seasoned flour, egg wash, and breadcrumbs, or even if you're double dusting, the egg wash has fat in it because of the egg yolk. Now it's got a nice richness. There's protein in there, of course, with the white. It does hold the crumbs or the flour on very, very well, but the crust is never going to be as crispy as if you have something like buttermilk or even just using egg whites. The idea is to get that crispy crust. And the downside of what happens when you're frying chicken, or, you know, whether it's a thin piece or a big piece, after it's done, you're letting it rest. Of course, steam is going to come out. And it kind of softens the crust. So we want to prevent that, if you will, or just, you know, minimize that effect. We want that crunch to be there even after, you know, a few minutes. So what we coat the chicken with becomes pretty important. Now, we've done a double dust with regular milk. We did it with the double, and we used a like a clam fry mix for the coating. And those are flour mixes that have some corn flour in there. Corn flour helps repel the grease. Corn flour will give you a little bit crisper crust. Not corn starch, but corn flour. And also, normally there's a little seasoning in that. There's a little baking powder that gives you a little puffiness. If you're using flour, of course, self-rising flour would be a good option. That has the baking powder already in it. It's not going to blow up like a biscuit, but it gives that little bit of you know, a little bit more volume to it. We do our chicken tenders in a mix like that. We use a 50% all-purpose flour and 50% of a savory batter mix. And it gives a nice light coating. But we're looking for something that's going to be crisper than that. So we want to make sure, you know, we use either milk or buttermilk, egg white. If you're using egg, maybe you thin it out with a little bit of milk so there's not so much fat in there. Otherwise, you will. You have a richer coating, and the flour or breadcrumbs will stick very well, but you'll never get it quite as crispy as if you're using something without fat in it. So even though you're frying it in fat, I know it doesn't make sense that, okay, if I add more fat, why is that bad? But trust me, that when you're coating, minimize your fat in the liquid, and you'll come out much better. We've got a break for news. We've still got to figure out with these coatings what's going to give us the best texture. And then, of course, our frying medium. What are we going to fry it in? Can't use regular butter. It doesn't get hot enough. So different oils and things like that will give it, have different effects on it. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table. WHCR-DV.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Reportedly out of a hospital, the alleged synagogue mass shooter is to go before a judge this afternoon in Pittsburgh. Robert Bauer is facing 29 charges in connection to the mass shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue Saturday, where 11 people were killed and 6 others were wounded. As some blame politicians, including President Trump, for fueling recent violence and hate crimes, Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway says it's the attacks on the White House that aren't helping to unify the nation, as President Trump has been calling for.
The kind of rhetoric that is said day in and day out about this White House, the people who work here, the president, the vice president, their families, it's got to stop.
Police in Matthews, North Carolina say a student who was shot by a fellow student at a high school this morning is in critical condition, and the shooter's now in custody. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there. I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Trial. Trial. Trial.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down to you.
All right, we're back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table. So, frying chicken sandwiches. Sandwiches, right? We're going to do it quick. We don't have to do the whole bird.
Trial.
So we've got our choice of light or dark. We're either brining it or marinating it or not. We could just simply, we could use a dry rub.
Trial.
You just season it. You want the meat seasoned, though. That's why normally we'll season the flour that's going on it, so it's right next to the product. But if you like a little more aggressive seasoning, by all means, a little rub doesn't hurt. And we've decided, okay, you know, whether we're going to do buttermilk, we're going to do regular milk, we're going to do a combination egg and milk. Egg whites would be nice if you have a use for the yolks. Egg whites a good protein for coating.
Trial.
And this is for
trial,
breading, not battering. Batter fried, you know, a little simpler. You're just dredging it in flour and then dipping it in a tempura or a fish, and, you know, an ale batter, something like that. That's a different type of thing right there, and that can come out crispy too. But we're talking about we want this coating somehow. So panko comes to mind, very easy, the Japanese breadcrumbs. We'll use the finer ones. If you use the medium or coarser ones, you'll have a little more crunch factor, but it may not coat as nice and evenly as the finer ones. Some people will take you know, panko and mix them with regular crumbs. One technique, actually using instant potato flakes, not the granules, but the flakes. That might be potato pearls. That might be one of the products. But, of course, haven't instant mashed potatoes, or they're not on our radar at the restaurant. But we do use potato starch for things. You have to special order it. It's not normally carried. I think still Staley's. They might be the only ones. That's the only brand I see out there. The potato flakes would be nice, even though they're dehydrated, they're dried like breadcrumbs, will give you a nice crunch on there. And I don't know if I would use all potato flake, but maybe half breadcrumb, half potato flake would definitely give you a good crunch on there. If you like regular breadcrumbs, that's fine. They're toasted usually. Sometimes they're seasoned. No problem there. But that'll be a finer coating. I think the panko will be crisper. Also, double dusting where you have your seasoned flour and then into your liquid and then back into the flour again. That works very well. You can really pack the flour on there. Actually, when you're doing a technique like that, you like to let them sit for a little bit. And the flour will get a little moist again and actually dredge it one more time. We've done the double dusted with, like I said, the clam fry mix and, you know, a milk with a little cayenne in it to flavor it. And then back in the clam fry mix. And we found that one worked pretty well for a good coating on the sandwich. With the schnitzel, the way we're preparing at the restaurant, of course, we're sautéing it, we're deep frying. And this is where the sandwich makes sense at home. A lot of people either don't have a deep fryer or, well, I'm going to use it, but then what am I going to use with the oil? I got to save it or store it, or, you know, throw it out. It's, it's a workout. I mean, if you're doing a large group, there's nothing quicker than a deep fryer. But for, you know, a regular night's dinner, a wide skillet would be nice with some high sides. And you're going to heat some oil. Now, canola oil is neutral. That will allow the flavor of the product to show through. If you use olive oil, and you don't need extra virgin, but you know, just regular olive oil, you'll pick up a nice flavor with that. We use a mix of clarified butter and canola oil. And that butter really does give a nice crunch when you're doing a cutlet, whether for a sandwich or for a meal, a schnitzel. It's got that, you know, that even though it's clarified, you've got that, it's not salty because it's just butter fat. But that is a frying medium or a saute, shallow fry, whatever you want to call it. Works very well because it has a high smoke point. Peanut oil, if you like, would be okay. If you don't have any allergies there, of course, you don't, if you do, you want to avoid that as much as you can. We don't even keep peanut oil in the restaurant. You know, we have there's a number of people with that sensitivity, so we don't. I think we have one dessert. We have one dessert that's the Reese's peanut butter thing. But aside from that, we don't keep peanuts. We don't keep peanut oil around. Just you don't want that risk of cross contamination. It's just safer all the way around. So we heat the oil. The best thing if you do the splatter test where the water sizzles, or you can do the bread cube that. Browns up in 10 seconds. The thermometer is the best way. If you're shallow frying, of course, it might be a little difficult, but you can, as long as you don't want to get it to the smoke point. What happens is the oil's too hot. The first product you put in there is going to start burning. And if the oil's too cold, it's going to absorb too much grease. And that's not good frying. Good frying should not absorb a lot of grease. It's the right temperature. It's going to flavor the coating, but you should not get grease absorbed into the food. Temperature control is important. Don't put too much product in the pan. You might only want to do two or three pieces at a time, or even two. I mean, for our portions, we actually just do one at a time in a 10-inch skillet. You don't want to crowd it too much. That lowers the temperature of the oil, again, giving you a poor frying job. Now, I found a coating. I was doing research, and I was double dusting. So I took just a thin, pounded chicken breast, and I made a mixture of 50% flour and 50% potato starch. Now, I've done this before with cornstarch, and 50% flour, 50% of cornstarch. I used to coat calamari with that. You season it, of course, with salt and pepper and whatever else you want to put in there. But, definitely make sure there's salt and pepper in there. And it really does give you a better crispy coating. Potato starch is fine. It feels like cornstarch. Mixing this up, I dredge the chicken in flour. Just put it in 2% milk. and then back in the flour, so it had a nice coating on it. And I fried it, and I'll tell you what, it came out very, very crispy. I let it sit for a while. It was still crispy after about 10 minutes rest.
Trial.
You know, so that tells me if somebody's eating it, you know, 10 minutes, I mean, it's still going to be crispy. And the flavor had, because of the potato starch, had almost this buttery flavor. Because I just put it in regular fryer.
Trial.
And it was the end of the night, so the fryer oil, it was even a little bit beat up. And the color was nice and light golden brown. It didn't get too dark. And well coated just with the milk and the double dusting and the flour. But that potato starch might be the answer for that nice, if you like that flour type coating. Obviously, if you like the panko breadcrumbs, they're going to be crispy.
Trial.
But another technique to get them even crisper, I was reading one chef takes the panko crumbs and sautés them in a little bit of oil, just like if you're making a breadcrumb topping for, say, vegetables or a casserole, you want that toasted, buttery flavor.
Trial.
He suggests, you know, I'm going to toast the crumbs first, you know, in the oil, and then cool them off and use that to coat the chicken. And it doesn't get too dark because, you know, panko is going to stay light. It's a unique breadcrumb. It's not just regular. It's the Japanese, the bread is, they use a white bread a lot for the sandwiches. It kind of looks like, you know, supermarket mass-produced bakery bread, but it is it's a different texture, and they make it do a very good job with it. And those crumbs are what are in panko, and you know they even if pre-toasting them, they will give you that crispy texture that you want at the end. Again, the potato flakes, great idea. Probably not using, I don't know anybody that's using those anymore, but they're still, I think they're used in, you know, a lot of institutions, things, you know, places where storage is a problem for fresh product, maybe, you know, maybe in the military on a ship. I mean, you're not, it's a lot easier to store some dehydrated product than to try to keep a lot of fresh product refrigerated. So the potato flakes might have a new use here with a nice crunchy coating on your fried chicken. No, you're sautéing it. If you're doing the shallow fry, of course, you can check the doneness with a thermometer, but you can also do it by feel. The meat is going to firm up from if you know what it's you're handling it when it's raw. When it firms up, it will be done. You can also take the tip of a knife and just cut the thickest part open just a little bit, and just make sure. You want to see a little juice in there because you will have some carryover cooking. You don't want it pink. In the case of the dark meat, it'll be pretty easy to tell. But you do want it fully cooked. And then we like to let it rest. Paper towels, of course, are good. A baking rack is even better. Because even on the paper towels, I put them on a metal pan, try to take the heat out right away, but you still get a little bit of sogginess underneath. So the best way is elevated off the pan on the rack. If you're making a bunch of them, you can always store them in keep them in a 150 to 200 degree oven. Not to cook them more, but just to keep them warm. Now, and the other thing with these too, if you don't want to fry, you don't want to shallow fry, baking in the oven, you want a good hot oven, 400 plus degrees, 425 at least. For oven frying, you can do a coating, and what's recommended, of course, then you would have something with your panko. You would want to put a little oil or butter in there just to get that color and that flavor from baking. You're not going to have to worry about heating up oil. You can do a whole pan of it. Very little added oil to it, but you'll have that coating. The main thing is you want it to brown up nice. But certainly, if you wanted to do a batch of them on a sheet pan in the oven fry them, you could do that very easily. Nice crispy coating, and again, get it off the pan, let it rest a little bit, and so it doesn't steam. And yeah, usually a sandwich you're going to serve right away anyway. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll talk about how we're going to dress these things up. and chicken sandwiches. Chef Bill's Table.
Trial.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client...
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Trial.
This is the day of the expanding man.
Back to Chef Bill's Table here. I apologize for the interruptions. It seems like only technician working on things here. Okay, so our fried chicken sandwich. So we've got our chicken fried, and we like to season it afterwards.
We're
using just plain breadcrumbs, a little salt and pepper doesn't, or even just salt doesn't hurt. But more often than not, with these popular ones, of course, there's some kind of sauce that goes on them. As I say, we've done the Red Devil, which was a sriracha, honey, butter, equal parts of each, melted butter. And we used, actually it was clarified butter, so there was no milk solids in there. Yeah, one third of each, and gave you a nice sweet heat. Barbecue sauces, of course. You like the, you know, the Memphis style. You like a Texas style. You like a Gold Carolina, mustard based. Many of those would work. The Alabama hot chicken seems to be a popular item now. Where you, it's almost like a hot buffalo sauce, buffalo fried chicken. Of course, yeah, people like that too. Got to be careful. You got that crisp crust, and then you dip it back in some other kind of sauce. You might lose a little bit of the crunch there, depending. I guess with a if you're frying large pieces for a long time, you get a very, very thick, you know, good crispy crust on there. Then the effect isn't so much. But you know, fried chicken usually like to drizzle. Mayonnaises, of course, always work. And it could be as simple as a aioli with the roasted garlic or even raw garlic mashed to a paste and mixed in with your mayonnaise. the Japanese style of tonkatsu. There's you could have a soy based again if you want a marinade. You could kind of reinforce that with a sauce. Sometimes you know, like a good steak sauce, but always need some kind of sauce. And again, you decide if you want it to be mayonnaise or something else. And then, of course, the garnish, the pickle, the slaw. You want some crunch in there, just like a fried soft shell crab sandwich. The shell, you know, the crunch in there. You need some coleslaw. And we don't put these on the side; we put them right on top. So the you know, the quintessential sandwich. Now, of course, you have some kind of mayonnaise sauce. The pickle juice, you know, apparently is the secret ingredient in there. That little bit of pickle brine helps flavor. Some people even marinate the chicken in that just to reinforce it. And if you like that, it's good. You know, if it's a good, you know, garlic or a half sour or dill, whatever you like, but not a sweet pickle, but the regular vinegar, salt, turmeric in there too, usually. So that's good for you, right? Cucumber pickle. We do a quick one with water, some kosher salt, and some sugar. A little bit of minced onion and a pinch of crushed red pepper. And the sliced cucumbers in there. A few hours, you've got yourself a nice, crisp pickle that's not overcooked. If you're doing, you know, like a, usually you boil the brine, pour it over the pickles or the cucumbers. And then, you know, they turn that that olive drab color. These will stay a nice color for a few, actually a few days. And then eventually, of course, they'll turn color because of the acid there. I use rice vinegar for those instead of white vinegar. Rice vinegar, a seasoned rice vinegar, so that helps with the flavoring also. But even we do a vegetable slaw that's with rice vinegar, and we julienne vegetables. You can use a mandolin. We use even the box grater. You can have it almost shredded. Anything like that that's raw, that's crunchy. We like the clear dressings, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with a mayonnaise base or, you know, a barbecue. You could have a blue cheese. You get fancy with your slaw. Broccoli, shaved Brussels sprouts, shaved fennel. Many things come to mind. And the pickles, we've done them with thin sliced carrots. We've done white turnips in there. Again, thin sliced, enough in that quick pickle to, you know, a few hours in there. It's like brining, and you still got a nice crispy texture. But great flavor in there, the sweet and the salty and that little bit of heat from the crushed red pepper. Scotch whiskey all night long. And dine behind the wheel. And, of course, what are we going to serve it on? Your favorite roll, and then, with the chicken being the star, of course, I guess, you know, white bread. If you were in a barbecue place, probably the, you know, the white, regular white sandwich bread might not be a bad idea. We like a brioche roll, but certainly a ciabatta. When you're doing something like this, you really want the chicken to be the star. And the bread should just be kind of a vehicle for holding it so you don't get your hands messy. You know, and probably you know, something like the thin white bread might almost be preferred in that case. Whereas with a burger, with the more juice you got, you know, you want that balance there. You don't want too much bun. You don't want too much burger for the bun. But with the chicken, I think something soft would be good. You know, a brioche, we're going to try it on a potato roll. That's what we've served it on before, something a little bit lighter. Those seem to work very well. Nothing too heavy or too rich. You're already putting a lot of rich things on there. And so hopefully with this, you do enjoy fried chicken as a sandwich. Now, of course, if you're tired of chicken, I mean, a thin pork cutlet would do just as well. And apparently in L.A. they're doing it with Wagyu beef. They're doing like a thick, almost like a chicken fried steak. But any thin cutlet, once you get your coating down that you like, and I tell you, mixing that potato starch with the flour, if you've never done it before, check it out. It does have a different flavor and a very nice texture. Apparently, potato starch was used in Japan a lot. When the people came here, the cornstarch was more available,
Trial.
So oftentimes the cornstarch gets substituted. And that would work also, but I was very impressed with the potato starch. And also, if you want the crumb coating, the use of the potato flakes. So let's not forget our humble potato.
Trial.
All right, we're coming down to the end. What's coming on the horizon? Cassoulet, favorite fall dish. We'll be talking about that next week. I guess pork and beans would be oversimplifying.
Trial.
We'll do some variations. We'll be whipping some up this week. Hopefully have it for a special this coming weekend at the restaurant. It's that time of year. We usually try to get into Cassoulet by at least sometime. Well, by Beaujolais Nouveau Day, right? By mid-November. Next wine celebration coming up. So, at any rate, enjoy the fall. Enjoy fried chicken sandwich, something you can do at home. You don't have to worry about a big mess. You don't have to worry about running a takeout. Make it your own. Vary the garnishes, the sauces. But get your frying technique down and your coating. And play around with it. And that's what's funny. You say, oh, it's fried chicken, but you know, you could make it taste a little bit different each time. Just have fun with it. Jeff Bill signing off. We'll talk to you next week.
Trial.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as one student is dead after a shooting at a high school outside Charlotte, North Carolina this morning. Police in Matthews say it happened at Butler High School. The alleged shooter's in custody. The school was on lockdown, but that has since been lifted. The alleged shooter in the Pittsburgh synagogue massacre on Saturday is out of a hospital. 46-year-old Robert Bowers due to be arraigned on 29 charges in connection with the incident in just a little while. 11 people were killed. White House advisor Kellyanne Conway saying of those victims,
their names should be lifted up today. You want a lesson from all this? Teach your kids about anti-Semitism, the evil in the world, and remember their names and their service. That's what needs to be done today.
She spoke on Fox News. An airliner crashes off the Indonesian coast with 189 aboard. They're not expecting to find survivors. This is USA Radio News.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there. I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
Trial.
At AutoZone, helping you get more done is what we do best. Like with the AutoZone Rewards Program, you'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. It's just one more way to get more done. Getting your engine in top shape starts with getting the oil and filters changed regularly. So come right now to AutoZone and take advantage of our great deals on oil change specials. Visit any of our 5,500 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
That large group of thousands of mainly Honduran migrants continues to head towards the U.S. border as it has for the past few weeks. And now another group of migrants, these from El Salvador, have begun a trek northward as well. The DHS chief, Kirsten Nielsen, says, though, she's got a message for them.
You will not be allowed in. There is a right way to emigrate to the United States, and this is not it.
President Trump, with kind words,